So my topic this morning is out of the book of Acts, and we're going to just, I'm just going to skim through three chapters. And the topic actually is about being a citizen of heaven. How many of you think about that? There you go. Look at the hands go up. I'm glad because, you know, that's who we are. We are citizens of heaven. And I want to tell you a story in the book of Acts. I've been reading through the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. And I've been reading about Paul the Apostle. And he's an amazing man, you know. He is just so powerful and so bold and just goes for it with the Lord. He doesn't hold back on anything that God tells him to do. Even in the times when they were saying, don't go there, don't do that, you're going to be killed, you're going to be this, you're going to be tortured. No, all he could see was what Jesus called him to do. And I hope today that we will see what Jesus has called us to do, because he has called all of us. So in Acts chapter 20, we come across a time Paul is in Ephesus, and he's preaching the gospel, and he's meeting with believers there, and he's telling them, I am now going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to leave Ephesus, and I'm going to Jerusalem. And the believers there, when you look in Ephesians chapter 20, to say to him, they don't want him to go. They pleaded with him, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, because we are so concerned about your safety. We don't want anything to happen to you when you go to Jerusalem. And Paul says, you know, well, he says in verse 22, he says, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I am going to Jerusalem, you know? So he wasn't listening to the opinions that were out here. He was listening to what the Spirit was telling him in here, that he was to go to Jerusalem, right? How many of us sometimes hears God say, I want you to do this? Right? Yeah, hands again. Good, I love that. And what happens when you do it? You know, there is such great satisfaction and blessing when we obey what God wants us to do, right? There is. So he says, I'm compelled by the Spirit and I'm going to go, he said. I'm going to finish this race, and I'm going to complete the task that the Lord has given me. Now, what was Paul's task? His task was to go to the Gentiles, right? In the book of Acts, we know that he had a conversion experience, and God gave him this order. You, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Now, do you think that was an easy order for a person that was a Jew? If you know anything about Jewish history, you know that the Gentiles were kind of like, you know, they wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street as a Gentile if a Gentile was coming, because they felt that they were to have nothing to do with them. And yet God is calling Paul to go there. And he says, and I know that I'm going to come upon some great opposition when I do this. But he knew what he was called to do and whose kingdom he belonged to and represented. He was a citizen of heaven. What does that mean, be a citizen of heaven? While he's on his journey, as we go a little further into chapter 21, he's on his journey visiting different places. And again, the believers there are telling him the same thing. Don't go to Jerusalem. All right, so if somebody says to me, don't go to Binghamton. I'm going to look at my own neighborhood. Don't go to Binghamton. There's too much danger in Binghamton, too much violence going on there. Don't go there. I would probably say, well, maybe I should listen. Maybe there's something here I shouldn't do, you know? But Paul knew definitely that he had to go to Jerusalem because God was calling him. Then it says that a prophet whose name is Agabus came from Judea, and he says to Paul, he takes Paul's belt and he kind of ties it up, and he says, you're going to be tied up with this belt, like a belt. You're going to be tied up when you go to Jerusalem. And they're going to try to harm you and kill you. But Paul says, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Not only did he know he was called, but he knew he was a citizen of a different kingdom, a kingdom that was ruled by God. So in chapter 21, verses 17 to 19, he arrives in Jerusalem. And when he arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly. Then next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. You know, one of the greatest things for me to hear is a testimony of what God did through somebody with it for another person. Years ago, when I first started my walk in the Lord, the church that we attended, we used to have testimony night. And I know on testimony night, I'd feel like the devil was sitting on my lap because he didn't want me to share anything, right? That happened to you sometimes? You want to get up and you want to tell what God is doing? Well, Paul shared what was going on in his ministry as he had traveled and how God had brought in the Gentiles and ministered to them. And then he would share that with the believers there. But then there were also some Jewish believers there who kind of asked this question. They said, well, you know, we believe in Jesus as our Savior, but we also believe in some of the laws and rituals that we have in our Jewish faith. And one of the times that this was a time of purification, which was a seven-day custom that they did, and I think they shaved their heads and different things, to be purified, because that was their custom. So they wanted Paul to do this. They said, do this, Paul, because you'll be accepted better among the Jewish community if you do this. So he did it. And he did. After he did that, he kind of was accepted by the Jewish people that were there, and they listened to his message about Jesus. But then something happened. There was a crowd of people that came in, and they started a riot. Have you ever heard of a riot? Do we have riots in our country? Sometimes we have riots in our country. People rise up because they're angry at things that are going on, and they want to protest, and they want to do all of that. So here's Paul, he's sharing the message of Jesus, and a riot starts. And it got so bad that they reported it to the police or the commanders, and they said, there's this guy who's causing all this trouble, you better come and take care of him, right? So they go, and they see Paul there, and they see the crowd yelling and screaming and wanting to kill him, and then the commander's going to take him to the barracks, they're going to lock him up, and Paul, now here's something, here's how being a citizen of heaven really helps you sometimes, you know? He goes, would you just let me talk to these people? Can you imagine you're probably tied up in handcuffs or something, and you ask this commander who's going to arrest you, can I just have a word with the people, right? Now, don't you think that's kind of like citizenship of heaven's favor, right? We have favor. So with this favor that this commander gives him, okay, talk to the people. Paul begins to share his testimony. Now, we know Paul's testimony was amazing. Going to Damascus to destroy believers. He was against the movement of Jesus when he started out. And so he was going to destroy believers in Damascus, and God got a hold of him. Light from heaven threw him off his horse, and he heard Jesus say, why are you persecuting me, Paul? And from that moment on, started his journey in Jesus. Amazing story. You know, there is amazing sometimes. You know, we were thinking, Pastor Larry was sharing with us on our Wednesday morning prayer meeting about his ministry in the prison that he goes to. And he was sharing how, like, four or five people had accepted the Lord. Isn't that exciting? You know? Now, we know that a prisoner isn't going to have a change of heart or mind or lifestyle unless he has something to focus on. He has Jesus in his life, right? Jesus transforms us, changes our way of thinking, our way of walking. So Paul had this opportunity to give his testimony with the Jews that were there. But you know, any of you ever had any troublemakers in your life? They can be pretty persistent, right? People, you know, sometimes they don't understand you, you know. I always used to think of Mr. Pond when when we would tell him about Jesus, you know, and he'd listen and he'd kind of say, well, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure. And then sometimes he'd get upset with me and he'd say, that's only idiots believe that and blah, blah, blah. And I'd just say, well, it's okay to disagree with me. I love you anyway, you know. And he would just soften. You could see how the word of God could change his attitude about things, you know. So here are these people that really are listening to Paul. They're receiving what Paul is teaching. But then he says something that they didn't like. Okay? And what he said was, as he was giving his testimony, he said, you know, God called me to go to the Gentiles. And when they heard that, an uproar broke out again. And they were surrounding him and they wanted to capture him. Because, you know, they could not see beyond their Jewish belief. They couldn't see anybody going to another nationality or Gentile nationality. Couldn't go because they were not accepted by the Jew. But yet God took Paul, brought him out, and called him to do this. So he's arrested again. And this time he's brought into the barracks, and he is, let me get to my notes there. Yeah, and so he's about to be, they tie him down, just like Agabus saw, they tie him down, strap him down, and they're about to flog him. And so, you know, what would you be thinking of if you were in a place like that? You know, I probably wouldn't say what Paul did, but what he said was, you know what? Is it legal for you to flag a Roman citizen? Well, now, Paul was a Roman citizen. He was born a Roman. And, you know, when you can see, think of God's plan in his life, you can see how God would use him to go to every part of the Roman Empire to preach the gospel. And he had access because he was a Roman citizen. Isn't that amazing? You know? So the Roman commander or the centurion that was there, he went to the commander and he said, this man is a Roman citizen. What are we going to do with him? Well, you know, they couldn't flog him because he was a Roman citizen. He had certain rights under being a citizen. You know, he said he was a Roman citizen by birth. You know, we are citizens of heaven by birth, by spiritual birth. Jesus died for us, and he gave us access to God. We became a citizen of heaven when we were born again, born into the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. You know, I don't go around thinking about that. Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is now our fatherland. We are children of God. You know, when I read this chapter, this was the thing that just popped off the page to me about what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? What rights do we have as citizens of heaven? You know, not only, well, somebody may be a citizen of a country. I was a citizen of Norway, and then I became a citizen of the United States because I was born in a different country. But even, you know, as a citizen of the United States, I have certain rights. We have certain freedoms that maybe other countries don't have. Do we appreciate the freedoms that we have as citizens of our country, you know? But what do we have as a citizen of heaven? First of all, we are children of God. Say this, I am a child of God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was in prayer meeting one Wednesday, and we were praying for somebody because they were going through some hard times, some physical issues, blah, 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 and all that. And as we were praying together, I heard the voice of the Lord say, that person is a child of God. That person belongs to me. And I thought, you know, you're right. You are absolutely right, Lord. That person is a child of God. How dare the enemy come against that person? She's a child of the King. She's a child of heaven. She belongs to the heavenly kingdom. And yet the enemy comes in and persecutes and tries to make them believe something else. As a citizen of heaven, our names are written in heaven's registry. You know, I'm sure my name is written in some registry somewhere because, you know, when I became a citizen, I had to fill out paper and go before a judge and all that stuff and you know, swear my allegiance to this country But I came across a time when I had forgotten to bring a passport somewhere. We went to Canada, got into Canada perfect, no problems. Nobody asked me for anything but my driver's license. Didn't even think, passport, right? So on the way back, they won't let me in the country. And I check that off to plain stupidity on my part, you know? There are stupid moments in our lives, but it was so funny because here we are sitting in, you know, the immigration office, and they're trying to find me. I said, I became a citizen in Florida. My name's got to be registered somewhere. They found my husband, couldn't find me. So we were in there for hours. It was right after, actually after like 9/11. It was right after that. And my family came from Norway, and we were going into Canada because they wanted to go to Niagara Falls. We didn't think passport. So we're all here. I am sitting with my family, you know, my cousins from Norway, and feel like a real idiot because I don't have a passport, and they couldn't find my name, and it took hours before they finally found me that I did become a citizen. But see, I didn't have the right documentation to go into that. I didn't have a passport, and you know, and I thought, how important is a passport? Like when you travel, you have to have it. You don't go anywhere unless you have a passport, right? But it was interesting. But anyway, as a citizen of heaven, we now live in the sphere of Jesus. What is the sphere of Jesus? Think about that for just a minute, you know? In him I live and move and have my being. That's what the Bible tells us. We live in that sphere with him. And you know, part of that, being able to be called a citizen of heaven, part of that is, here's what I have. I have freedom like no other freedom. It says, the Son set me free. I am free indeed. I have more freedom as a citizen of heaven as I have as a United States citizen. You know that? Because when you look at the story of Paul and how he went from place to place to place and the freedom, not only that he had as a citizen of Rome, but as a citizen of heaven, God opened doors for him, gave him favor with military people, gave him favor with the priests and everyone around him, opened these doors for him so he could preach the gospel, you know? How much more will he do for us because we have Jesus in our hearts? Will he open those doors for us? As a citizen of heaven, first of all, I have salvation. I have been given salvation through Jesus Christ, you know? As a citizen of heaven, I have forgiveness of sin through his name. I have remission of the penalty of sin. God no longer holds me guilty. I have been set free from that. As a citizen of heaven, I have peace with God. I have hope in God, right? You know, in the Old Testament, when it talked about the covering of the sin, it was a covering. Forgiveness of sin was a covering. It just covered it. While in the New Testament covenant, being a citizen of heaven provides cleansing of forgiveness, not just covering of forgiveness. That means we're clean. We're clean before God. As a citizen of heaven, I've been justified and declared righteous and in right standing before God. As a citizen of heaven, I have regeneration. I have new birth into the family of God. I am a child of God. Do you know how important that is for us to know? We are a child of God. We stand in the power of God. As a citizen of heaven, I have the Holy Spirit which transforms us. I don't know about you, but I am not the same person I'm not the same person today as I was when I started my journey in Jesus. When I started my journey in Jesus, I knew about salvation. And then I went a little further. Then I learned a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Then I went a little further and I learned about different things. I have learned at different levels in my walk with the Lord. And all of us will say that too. We all have learned in different levels. He is transforming us every day into things that he wants us to see. Even now, my journey in the Word is different. Now he's showing me all the little particulars in a verse. Instead of just reading through the chapter, something pops up. Like this thing about being a citizen of, I'm a citizen of Rome. I'm like, wow, that carried some weight, didn't it? And then I'm thinking, and then I hear, well, you're a citizen of heaven. Does that not carry some weight? And I'm thinking, it does. Wow, I've got the king of the universe on my side. I got the creator of all things on my side. That's what's backing me. That's what's surrounding me. That's what's holding me, right? I have a new position now because I am a citizen of heaven. And here's my position. Ephesians 2:6 said that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, he took humanity with him. Now, we may be here in bodily form, but our spirits are with him. And our position now is to look down, not up. And I love to see what God shows me when I look down. Because then I start to see things that he wants me to see, things that he wants me to do. Now, this whole thing about access to the Father, in Paul's Roman citizenship, it gave him access to the Roman world. In our citizenship of heaven, it gives us access to different things. And I'm going to give you an example. First of all, when Jesus died on the cross, and it says that when he died, that hour that he died, it's like the world became dark. Darkness covered the earth. And there was an earthquake. And then there was a tearing of the curtain in the temple. Now, you know, we read this. Sometimes I read things and I don't think about what was it like at that moment. When that happened, was it quiet? I don't think so. I think when Jesus died on the cross and he said those words, "It is finished," the earth reacted, right? It was boom, right? Powerful. And when that curtain in the temple tore from the top to the bottom, it wasn't just a little, you know, like you tear a piece of paper. It was a tear that the whole world heard. Because God said, now you have access to me. You can come in and spend time with me, and you can share, and I can share with you my heart. Before that, it was the priest that had to go before the Lord. We didn't have that access. Only the priests. Sometimes, you know, I said, Lord, I just can't get enough of what you're teaching me. Give me more. I want more every day. I want to see all these wonderful things that you're doing, you know? We have a Father in heaven. You know, in the Old Testament, when they talked about Jehovah or Yahweh, it was so holy that they couldn't even say it, you know? They were afraid to even mention the name. But he is our Abba Father. He's our Father. Wow. And let me tell you a little bit about our Father, what our Father is like. Our Father in heaven, King of the universe, creator of all things, is present everywhere at the same time. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I wish sometimes I could be in two or three or four different places at one time, but I can't. I don't have that ability. I'm not a spiritual being like that yet. Maybe when I go to heaven. That's going to be fun, isn't it? Wow, we're going to travel. We're going to do some space travel up there. But now, here on Earth, I can only go to one person at a time or one event at a time. But our Father is present everywhere at the same time. And I just want to read Psalm 139 to you. I'll get there in just a minute. Psalm 139 is a wonderful scripture. If I could find it. Here we go. All right, Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of the earth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Wow. Present everywhere, in every place, in every situation. Wow, that's a pretty good God. We said he's a good Father. You know, I know as a parent, I wanted to protect my children from everything out there that was evil. It horrified me when they finally decided they wanted to go out on their own without me. Right? We can relate. It's hard, okay? But God doesn't ever leave us alone. He is there everywhere. And the word that is for present everywhere is omnipresent, always with us. He is also, God also knows everything. My kids used to say to me, "How do you know that, Mom?" I tell them, "God told me." And they used to say, "What? He tells you things like..." Yep, all the time. Most of the time I could just look at their eyes and see the guilt, you know. But God knows everything. Isn't that something? Everything. There's nothing that we can hide from him or ask him. He knows it. You know, sometimes I say, "Okay, wait, I put my keys now, Lord, please help me find them," you know. And he sometimes he does, you know, but sometimes I have to search. But anyway, no, that God knows everything means he's omniscient, knows everything about us. From the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, throughout the night, and it says, even when it's dark out, darkness is as light to him. He sees everything. So if you think you're going to get away with something, you can forget it, because it's not going to happen. Psalm 139, chapter verses 1 to 6 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know me when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. For hem me in. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." We can't even imagine what that's like, because he knows it all, good and bad. And don't tell me when you do something bad that you don't feel that nudge in your spirit. "Oh, no, I did this now, you know. How could I do that," right? That's his presence every day with us. And then it says that our God is all-powerful. He has authority over all things. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. Now, you know, man will never have authority over all things. Do you know that? We will never have authority over all things. There can be dictators that rise up in our world and take over a country. We see China, we see Russia, we see places in the Middle East where they have these dictators that think they have authority over. We know there's someone coming that thinks he's going to rule the world, the Antichrist. It can never happen, okay? Man will never have authority over all things, ever, okay? Because God is the only one who has authority over all things. He's the all-powerful. He has ultimate authority over all things. He has all authority over the whole world, the whole universe, and what's beyond the universe. We don't even know what that is. You know? He has authority. Jesus said, "I give you authority because I have authority now. Authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations." You see, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This access as citizens of heaven that we have with the Father is just amazing if you think about it. And God opens the doors that he wants to open for us to go through. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to hear him, to know him, to move with him. It's just amazing, you know? I know we've had some really good classes in this church over the last year, a couple of years. Laura has done a class on heaven. How many of you have taken Laura's heaven class? Look at that, wow. Well, that's going to be a stable for this church. We're going to have that class every year. You know why? Because we need to know where we're going. We need to know about heaven. I took her class. It's a wonderful class. And there'll be some sign-up slips at the end of the month for different classes that are going to be put out. And they're going to be classes that are going to help us to grow in the Lord, help us to get to know God better, help us to know what it's really like to be a citizen of heaven and what we have access to, you know? Sometimes when I see the enemy come against me, I just remind him, you know what? I belong to Jesus. I am a child of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. You got a problem with that, Satan? Go talk to him. He don't want to talk to Jesus. He wants to torment me. right? We have to get to the place where we know where we stand in Christ, in that sphere of Christ, in that unity with him, as we go out and we share the gospel with people. I believe that this year is going to be a year of harvest, and God is going to bring many people in, because God has a heart for people. He wants his registry to be full, right? So that's it. Praise God. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to us. Lord, we are so grateful that we can call ourselves citizens of heaven, that our heaven is now our fatherland, and we are part of that. We walk in the sphere of Jesus, hearing his voice, obeying his words, listening to what he wants to do. Lord, you have a good plan for this planet. You always have, and for the people that live in it. We know the enemy is strong, Lord, but you are stronger, more powerful, all powerful. There is no one more powerful than you. Thank you that you walk with us every single day, that you don't leave us unattended. You're always with us. Thank you, Lord, that you see everything that goes on in our lives, and you warn us when the enemy is going to do things. Warn us as your people, as a church, as a nation. Lord, help us to rise up and come into agreement with what you want to do, not only in our lives, but in our country, Father. Lord, we're about to have an election, Lord, and we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our country, on our earth, as it is in heaven, Lord. Only you can change the hearts of men, Father. Only you can make people do things that are pleasing to you. So we ask, God, that you go before us, Lord, as we prepare for the elections, that you put on our hearts the things that are important to you, that we see, Lord, what you want done. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for the church that you have put us in, the pastors that we have, Lord, and all the people that we have fellowship with, Lord. We are so rich in you, Father, here in this church. And so go before us this week, Lord, and guide us and direct us and bring people into our lives where we can share the wonderful news of who Jesus is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.